North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? We got a lively bunch in the house, I can tell. Everybody enjoyed their 4th of July festivities, right? Some of us came back for church the next Sunday. Some of us will be here next week, right? But I'm happy to be here, excited to share a word with you in this series that we're calling Off the Top of Our Heads, or Off the Top of My Head. I'm really glad that they didn't title this series Off With Your Heads, or else I would not have signed up for this message, right? But it's Off the Top of Our Heads, and I really enjoyed Pastor Andrew's message from last weekend, where he took on, you know, the issue of civil discourse, learning to really have conversations with people that have differing perspectives in a world that has ever-increasing diversity as part of the fabric of how God has made us up, right? So I just want to say thank you to our silver-tongued scholar, Pastor Andrew, on a masterful message on civil discourse. So if you did not have a chance to listen to that, you can go to northrockchurch.com. It's on there. I'd love for you to learn from that. I know I sure did, okay? So today I get to address a word that most people don't like to talk about, myself included. But, you know, when you're a pastor, sometimes they strap this thing to the back of your head. They say, get up on the stage, and you got to talk about some harder stuff. Today, I'm addressing pain. Anybody ever experienced pain in your life, right? Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, preach it, brother, preach it, right? Double hands. Anyone here ever experiencing pain right now, right? Ever stub a toe, step on a Lego? Like, seriously, I think the devil created Legos because those things hurt. Like, worse than about anything you could ever imagine, right? So, stub a toe, step on a Lego, broken a bone, yeah. A bunch of bones, yeah, right? Ever experienced heartbreak or spiritual disappointment, right? What we find out is that where we find that breaking point in a bone, it gets stronger once it becomes healed, right? So, the issue is, how do we work through pain? And how do we heal in the midst of pain? So I want to take a moment. The Bible has a lot to say about this subject, and I just want to pray, and then we'll dive right in, okay? So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. We love you. We thank you that in our heartbreak, in our pain, in our struggle, in the challenges that we sometimes incur in this lifetime, Lord, you are with us, you are for us, and, Lord, you are at work doing your will through our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray that you would help us to hear your voice, Lord, that your word would resonate in our hearts, and that it would give us a theological framework for working through the pain that we experience in this world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen. So I hope that just going through that short little list, everybody was able to identify some point of pain either occurring now or in the past. Because everyone experiences pain. Often and in various increments, right? It's been said that God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts out to us in our pain. Anybody ever experienced that? That's in our pain that it causes us to draw near. It's in our pain that we realize how much God is for us and with us and right next to us in the midst of our challenges, right? But the truth be told, we don't like pain. In fact, we do just about everything within our control, right, to avoid pain in our lives. We isolate, we insulate, we medicate. Come on, somebody, right? It's like if I said, okay, pain's over here on aisle 14, we would definitely detour as we go into the store. Nope, I'm shopping over here on aisle 1, right? We'd avoid it like we avoid I-25 during rush hour. Right? Come on, somebody's got to give me the truth in this place, right? What I would suggest this morning is that Jesus offers us a much better solution to pain than isolating, insulating, and medicating our lives. I believe that he offers us a new perspective, that he has a new purpose when we experience seasons of pain, and that he's taking us to a new place. Okay, so I want to talk about the way we think about pain today as what's on the top of my head, all right? So at some point, we as a culture, we as a people have to radically reframe our concept of happiness and realistic expectations and the purposes of God. Jesus did it, didn't he? Jesus would have never gone to the cross to suffer what he suffered for our pain had he not had a radical shift in the way that he thinks about life, right? And the way that he thinks about pain. He wouldn't have endured the cross for you and I had he not done that. The Apostle Paul, how many of you guys have recognized how much pain the Apostle Paul lived through during his short time on this earth, right? And so I thought we'd go to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, to kind of give us a framework for talking about pain. So this isn't just a self-help little talk from your pastor, right? So 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 says this, that even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, again, this is our super apostle. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, in the hardships, in the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How many would agree with me that that's a different kind of mindset, right? That's a mindset that's considering eternity. That's a mindset that's considering Christ's work in his life. Because I don't know if this is your experience, but my experience is that sometimes in the Christian worldview, we can not tell each other the truth sometimes, right? We drive around with really expensive, luxurious cars sometimes that we may or may not be able to afford with a bumper sticker that says, too blessed to stress, right? Or the license plates that say that, right? It's like we want the perception of, because I accepted Jesus into my life, everything was set into bright order and I never, ever have a bad day. It's always sunshine and rainbows. Comes up nicely, right? And in all honesty, Jesus makes every day better. Every day better, right? And the biblical account shows us that we don't get a go past the free space card when it comes to suffering and pain and struggle in our lives. In fact, what we see in the biblical accounts and what I can see in my own personal testimony, my own story of how Jesus is transforming my life day in and day out, is that we actually experience more challenge willingly, not less. Right? In other words, we're willing to put our lives out there, as Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians, right? You know, there's a pastor named Wayne Cadero from Hilo, Hawaii, who is a mentor to a lot of our Foursquare pastors, a lot of pastors around the world. He wrote a book several years ago called Sifted. It's called Sifted, Pursuing Growth Through Trials and Challenges and Disappointments. And he basically just said this. He said, the process of sifting, okay, coming to that moment where our strength is spent. Anybody ever been there? Where your strength is spent is how God builds our faith. It's a process that forms new character, tearing away old perspectives and putting fresh truth in its place. The former habits are discarded and the wrong tendencies are abandoned. Again, pain has a redemptive purpose. Pain is a redemptive agent when we choose to see through redeeming eyesight, right? Paul said it's God's power, not mine. It's God's power that's made perfect in weakness. So the challenge is being okay in our weakness while glorying in God's strength in our weakness. Easier said than done, isn't it, church, right? Because I would rather have the cape. I would rather be the Superman. I would rather just go, okay, because Jesus in my life, everything is dun-da-da, right? But instead, he says, show your scars. He says, love someone out of your deepest hurts in your life. He says, go serve people that are not like you. He says all the things that we see him say, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, Paul says this. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that in our power, that our power is from God and not from ourselves. It says that we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Yes, we will live under the constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Okay, so I know that's a lot of text to start out with, but I think that it gives us kind of a good framework for this discussion on pain. How many would agree with me that Apostle Paul suffered some very difficult, painful experiences in life, didn't he? While serving Jesus, while loving God, right? And most of us would say, oh yes, amen to those texts. We'd say, hallelujah, praise God for Paul and his super apostleship. But what about for you? What about for me? What about for us? Is that the perspective that we can live with? Because I don't know about what your experience is like, but the first time I encounter pain, it usually sends a charge through my body, through my spirit of, oh no, what's going wrong? Right? Anybody else get that? Where your emotions just kind of go, oh no, what happened? We're off course, what happened, right? So why does Jesus allow pain in our lives? I would suggest for new perspective, for new purpose, and for a new place that he wants to take us to, okay? So real briefly, I'm going to run through some of those things. First is recognizing that our God is a sovereign God, that he's ahead of us, he knows what's best for us, he knows where we're going and where he's taking us to, amen? He's over all circumstances, what sovereign means. He's placed above everything. So take a moment, visualize, think about your biggest challenges you're facing, the most painful experience that you've experienced in your life. And I want you to visualize Jesus over that. Because he is, right? He is. He is the strength in the pain. The storms are not sent to destroy, but rather to define and to help us discover spiritual resource that Jesus has for us, that we can't find unless we're in that season of pain. We won't access them. We won't lean into them. What the enemy intends to use to destroy us is what Jesus intends to use to shape our lives. He wants to shape us, not shipwreck us. Amen? So if we don't abandon the ship in the midst of the pain, if we don't avoid the pain, if we actually learn to have this mindset that God is at work with some redemptive reasoning in my life in the midst of my pain, then pain can be a very good teacher in our lives. Redemptive reasoning requires a new perspective. That's the first thing that pain does in our lives. We learn to lean in. Turn to somebody and say, lean in. Okay? Now turn to them and say like you mean it. Like, lean in to your pain. Right? Lean into it. Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Don't medicate it, right? Lean into your pain. It has a story to tell, right? And in order to do that, we've really got to trust that we have a sovereign God who has our best interest at heart. And really, that's the crux of the issue. That's the faith issue right there. It's not, does pain hurt? Yes. But is God at work in my pain? And if he's at work in my pain, what is he at work to do, right? So a guy named Michael Hyatt, he's a big leadership kind of guru dude, makes the case that we won't grow past our threshold of pain. Right? Anybody ever met somebody who has a really high threshold for pain? Yeah, they usually become bull riders and iron workers and football players and, yeah, right? Pastors. Well played, my friend. He makes the point that we won't grow past the threshold of our pain because we have to encounter something called discomfort, right? Discomfort. So Michael Hyatt says three conclusions that we should embrace in our discomfort. The first is the realization that comfort is overrated. It usually results in self-absorbed boredom and discontent, right? You can feel free to disagree with this. This isn't scripture. but this has been something that's helped me work through my pain. Second one is the discomfort can be a catalyst for growth, right? Change, it stretches us, it helps us to adapt to new circumstances, new challenges that we're facing. Third one is the discomfort is usually a sign that we're making progress, right? If it's too comfortable, it's probably because it's too comfortable. If we've stopped growing, we've kind of built this, you know, layer of Charmin tissue around us, just going, oh, everything's nice and cushy and warm and fluffy, and that doesn't get us where God has for us very often. Okay, so identifying purpose in the pain is what I'm calling redemptive reasoning, okay? And part of that redemptive reasoning isn't just how does pain affect us, but what is the purpose of pain in my life for those that are around me, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, God, our merciful Father, and the source of all comfort. He's the source of all comfort. So the question that we have today is, where do we turn, where will we run when we face discomfort, when we face pain? As verse 4 says, he comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. You guys see that connection? That sometimes, and this might be revelation for you this morning, I don't know, but sometimes God allows us to go through seasons of pain. He allows us to be in a painful event, a painful moment in our lives, not for your purposes, but for somebody else that needs you to help them through that time. Does that make sense? He comforts us in all the troubles so we can comfort others. And when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God gives us. Our God, the Holy Spirit, is our comforter with us in the pain. And you can't testify to that without engaging the pain, without leaning into it, without saying, yes, I have pain, it's real, it exists, and God is faithful, right? Because the great enemy of our growth is comfort. Not the devil, comfort. All right, the devil too, but comfort, right? So three ways that we can embrace sovereign seasons of pain in our lives. Okay, just in case you run into a season of pain in your life, this might be a roadmap that helps us walk through it. First is that we lean in. We find the purpose in pain. We grow by God's design, not by default, right? That, in other words, God knew it, even though we didn't know it was going to happen. And God has purposely allowed that to cross our path so that we can grow through it. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 says this, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in his inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Why is identity important in pain? Because identity is the key factor in how we respond to our pain. Does that make sense? If I know that I know that I know that Jesus has transferred me into his kingdom, that he is with me in my pain, that he loves me, and he's with me in the pain, then I'm far less inclined to go try to deal with my pain in other ways other than leaning in and seeking Jesus. Does that make sense? So Sam Chan, one of my favorite mentors, leader to a lot of pastors, says that pain teaches us five crucial lessons. You guys ready for them? I'm just going to rip through them real quick, all right? First one is that we are weaker and more self-absorbed and more fragile than we ever imagined. I say that with a smile, right? They're like, how dare he? Right? Doesn't pain just reveal that? Like, it comes right to the surface, like, my owie hurts. I want the whole world to take care of my owie, right? And we kind of do a Neymar, right? Anybody know who Neymar is? You guys been following the World Cup? Yeah, just look it up. There's a whole Neymar challenge going on around the world right now where we get a little tiny, you know, injury and we roll around on the ground like, you know, somebody shot us, right? So we're weaker, more self-absorbed, more fragile than we ever imagined. Don't Neymar it, right? Two, actually, we don't have a clue what God is up to. That's what pain teaches us. I'm a pastor. I want to think, oh, yeah, praise God. I know exactly what God's doing in all the complicated, complex issues that we're facing as a society, all the challenges that we're facing as a church, all the challenges I'm facing in my personal life, my family life. I don't know. But when I'm not hurting, I feel like, oh, yeah, I know everything about what God wants to do, right? Pain teaches us that. So it's okay to lean into it, right? Because it teaches us some things. Third, we become more grateful. People that have been through seasons of sovereign suffering are more grateful. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, we just read it, right? The fourth thing that happens in our pain that we learn, we find God to be beautiful and not just useful. And he's no longer just a tool on the shelf. He's beautiful. And he's faithful. And he's able to bring us through seasons of pain. Fifth one, we become more tender, more understanding, and more compassionate. You learn to see the limp in other people. And instead of just a look at them of, oh, that stinks that they're limping, we care. And we carry the same comfort that Jesus gives us to help them, right? So it's okay to lean into it. Everybody say, lean in. Okay? We can lean into our pain. It's okay. Doesn't mean that God's mad at you. Doesn't mean that you need to go do something to make it go away. Okay? But then after we lean in, we got to learn from it. And we got to push through to a new purpose, okay? So we lean in and we push through. So a little acronym that's helpful to me, I hope it helps you, is when I think about pushing through the pain, right? Not avoiding it, but leaning into it and then pushing through it, going through the middle of it to find out what's happening, why we feel the way we do, why we're hurting the way we are. A little acronym that helps me is P-U-S-H, right? We're going to push through. Pray until something happens. You guys ever hear that one before? I know it's cliche, it's trite, but it's helpful. That's why it's cliche and trite, right? People remember that. Pray until something moves or until something happens. Push. We're going to push through to a new purpose. When God allows us into a season of pain, there's always a purpose attached to it. A lot of times it's just shaping our character to be more and more like his, to get away from some of the things that we naturally carry around in ourselves, right? Sam Chan says that growth equals change, change equals loss, so loss equals pain, so inevitably, growth equals pain. Sometimes the pain we're facing is because God's growing us into a new season. God's growing us into a new role. He's growing us into another level of maturity in his kingdom. So change happens only when we face the level of change only happens when our level of desire or actually desperation, right? Pain causes you to be desperate at times. When it rises above the level of our fears, right? Then we're willing to move out of our comfort zones and deal with the pain that's showing itself in our lives. However, I will admit that there are times and seasons in our lives where we max out on our pain tolerance threshold. Anybody ever hit that max before? Right? So currently, I'm working through one in my own life. Normally, I just say, you know, suck it up and move on, right? Normally, that's where I default to. But I found out about 2, maybe 3 months ago that I've got a spinal cord injury that's caused all kinds of challenges that I've just told myself, keep going, don't worry about it, you're going to be just fine, keep pushing through. And so basically I went in to go see the doctor because my loving family of staff here at the church and at the district and my lovely wife, Jody, said, you need to go get this looked at. And it's just a whole bunch of different things, nothing really that lined up exact, but a lot of pain, a lot of numbness, a lot of tingling, a lot of issues that started to turn into some motor skill function issues, leg dropping out when you're just walking around, you know, hand opening up when you're not supposed to open it up. Dropping stuff, you know, pretty clumsy, off balance, those kind of things. So I went in, got looked at. A doctor takes it across the hall to the neurosurgeon, says, you need to look at this guy. And he found that I've got some scarring on my spinal cord due to a herniated disc that keeps, you know, banging it up even more. And so on Tuesday, they were going to want to take me in. They're going to do what they call an ACDF surgery, okay? Anterior, which means they're going to come through this side of my throat, cervical, so it's C4, C5 in my neck. They're going to cut out the broken part, right? And they're going to put a big bracket over the top of it to help protect it so that it doesn't injure that part of my spinal cord anymore. Okay, so they call it the Peyton Manning surgery, if you're wondering my trivia question, because it's the surgery that he had right before he came and won a Super Bowl for the Denver Broncos, right? Don't mind he couldn't throw the ball down the field more than 15 yards at a time. But he won the Super Bowl. That's what we're looking at, right? So please be praying for us. Please continue to be faithful in your participation in the body life of this church. I'm telling you, this church is doing so well at being a body of Christ to one another and to this community. I have absolute faith in the team to hold and take ground while I'm healing. Doctors say it's going to be at least 6 weeks where I can't bend, I can't lift anything, and I can't turn. So I don't stand still very much, y'all. This is going to be a challenge, okay? So please be praying for that. But I use that as an opportunity to say sometimes we have to push through the pain, and then other times we have to learn what that pain is and go have it taken care of, right? So the story goes, my neurosurgeon walks into the room, and he's looking at my report, and he looks up at me, and he looks back down. You guys have been around doctors, right? Not the most chatty of people. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty, right? And he looks down, looks up at me, looks down, looks at me, says, why don't you like doctors? Well, hello, I'm Chad. It's very nice to meet you. And basically just goes on to tell me what I just told you and said, we need to get you in. We need you to have the surgery within the month. We're going to do everything we can to try to get that done. And so, you know, I gave him my answers. None of them were very good, other than I know that I beat my body up and I just got to learn to live with some pain. And so basically he says, okay, let me tell you your future. Again, doctors don't mess around. They don't play. He says, you've checked every box on the list except incontinence and complete paralysis. How much further do you want to take this? So at that point you say, sign me up. Let's do what we got to do, right? But it took him not only showing me this is the grave circumstances for what you're dealing with, but giving me a vision for a better future because of it, right? No one wants to think of themselves in their depends or completely paralyzed because of this injury because I was too hearted to pay attention to what my pain was teaching me, right? So we push through. And what pulls us out of there, what pulls us through the pain? Vision. It's a vision that God has a preferred future for your life better than what you can concoct on your own. Or better than what you're going to face if you keep running from that point of pain in your life, right? So what pulls us through vision, trusting in God that there's a better end result. So we press on to the new place. We persevere. We keep going. How many of you guys have ever done a word study on persevere in the Bible, right? Like, he talks to us about it a lot. Why? Because there's going to be some things that we need to persevere in this world. In other words, if it feels like you're currently passing through hell on earth, keep moving. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep pressing through. And trust that God has something better on the other side, even if we don't understand the purpose for which he's pulling us through that, right? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says this. In his kindness, let that sit. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, everybody say a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you in a firm foundation. That's the promise, y'all. Those are the things that pull us through the pain. Those are the things that give us the courage to say, I'm going to step into this discomfort, even though it's killing me, even though I don't want to deal with it, even though I don't want to work through it. It's that vision that God has something more, something better, something beautiful for us on the other side. As you sit here today and you think about that point of pain in your life, can you with me in faith say, God has something better for me? Right? God has something better for me. He allows pain for the purpose of redeeming situations in our lives. Thomas Keating, one of the great, modern day contemplative spirituality guys, has a great quote and basically says this, our expectations of becoming paragons of piety, great contemplatives, attaining higher stages of consciousness that are all subtly aimed at carrying us beyond the daily troubles of our ordinary life, are not the way into the kingdom. Rather, the kingdom consists of finding God in our disappointments. Anybody have some disappointments in here? Failures, promises, problems, not promises, and even in our inability to rid ourselves of our vices. So, all that simply to say, if those things are showing up in your life with any level of frequency, welcome to the club. God is good, He is faithful, and He will carry us through our pain. How many believe that Jesus Christ is the great healer still here today? Amen? Amen. So let's, as we worship, let's do that in mind. Today, let's focus our minds. Let's lift up high praise to the Lord. And let's think about, not just generally Pastor Chad's pain, because I've told you a little bit about that, but your own. Where is God at work? What is He doing? Where is He asking you to lean in, press through, and come through to the other side? Amen. So, Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy in our midst. Lord, we trust You. We trust You in our discomfort. We trust You in our pain. We trust You in the struggle that can be life sometimes. And, Lord, we acknowledge that You are good and You are faithful and You are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could hope or ask for. Lord, that You are the God who does miracles today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank You, Jesus. So good. You might be here today wondering, how do I deal with this pain? I don't even know Jesus. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to love you unconditionally, and He wants to walk through whatever pain you might be going through. So we are going to pray a prayer here that we pray every single weekend, just a commitment to following Him. But if this is your first time, please come see me after the service. I would like to get you a little yes packet. It's got a Bible and some helpful things to walk through as you're starting this journey with the Lord. But whether this is your first time or your 500th time praying this, let's pray it like we mean it. Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. I believe that You died on the cross for my sin and You rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to You the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the Scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following You in water baptism. It's in Jesus' name I pray and trust. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.